Chain of infection. The infection process can be described as a chain, as seen in Exhibit 1-2. Breaking the links of this chain can prevent infection, but first each link must be understood. Each component or link in the chain is connected to another link in the chain. Exhibit 1-2. Chain of infection. Now we will examine each component of the chain in more detail. Causative agent. A causative agent is a biological, physical, or chemical entity capable of causing disease. Biological agents may be bacteria, viruses, fungi, protozoa, helminths, or prions. Some biological agents have characteristics that make them more successful in causing infection. To cause disease, these agents must be invasive enough to enter tissues, multiply, and cause some amount of damage. They must be sufficiently virulent to be pathogenic, that is, the disease is likely to cause severe harm to the host/patient. The infectious dose, the number of organisms required to cause disease, and how viable an organism is in the free state also determine whether infection will develop. Host specificity affects organism success as well. An organism causing disease only in marmosets probably will not have success in causing infection in humans. Organisms may also have specific adaptations that help them succeed, such as high rates of antigenic variation that help to circumvent host immune responses. This is the case with influenza, in which the outer protein antigens change from year to year, necessitating the yearly development of a new influenza vaccine. The ability to develop antimicrobial resistance also gives the organism an advantage to continue causing infection. Reservoir. The next link in the chain is the reservoir, which is a place in which an infectious agent can survive but may or may not multiply. There are three common reservoirs of interest: humans, animals, and the environment. Common reservoirs related to healthcare-associated infections include patients, HCP, healthcare equipment, and the environment. Human reservoirs are generally individuals with the disease in question, either acute clinical or subclinical cases or carriers. A carrier is a person who shows no recognizable signs or symptoms of a disease but is capable of spreading the disease to others, for example, a healthcare worker with group A streptococcus. Convalescent carriers are those who have recovered from the disease but still have organisms present that can be transmitted. For example, an individual with Clostridioides difficile may continue to shed bacteria in the stool for several weeks after diarrhea has subsided. Chronic carriers or sustained carriers may continue to have organisms present for very long periods of time. Typhoid Mary Malone, 1869 to 1938, is an example. She was a healthy carrier of Salmonella typhi who became synonymous with the spread of disease as she continued to provide domestic services, including cooking, despite being diagnosed with a mild form of typhoid. While evading authorities and moving from household to household for years, she likely contaminated everything and everyone she came into contact with, leading to infection spread. Intermittent carriers periodically shed organisms. Key point: the following are two crucial concepts to understand with regard to carriers. Some diseases may be transmitted by a carrier before they become symptomatic. Some carriers may live long and healthy lives with the organism present. Both of these circumstances present a particular risk of transmission to susceptible hosts in the healthcare setting because they are less likely to be recognized. There may be no indication that they are ill or that they may be infectious. Precautionary measures to prevent transmission are less likely to be instituted because illness is not apparent. Portal of exit. The portal of exit is the path by which an infectious agent leaves the reservoir. Common portals of exit include the respiratory tract, the genitourinary tract, the gastrointestinal tract, the skin/mucous membranes, transplacental, mother to fetus. Blood. Mode of transmission. The mode of transmission is the method by which the organism reaches a susceptible host. Contact transmission is of particular concern in the healthcare setting. Direct contact is person-to-person spread with actual physical contact occurring between a source and a susceptible host. Indirect contact may occur when an individual comes in contact with a contaminated intermediate object or fomite. Some organisms, such as vancomycin-resistant Enterococci, VRE, may survive for days or weeks in the environment and contribute to direct or indirect contact transmission. Droplet transmission occurs when infectious agents travel on relatively large respiratory droplets, greater than 5 to 10 micrometers, μm, in diameter that people sneeze, cough, or exhale. These spend only a brief period passing through the air and can be inhaled at that time. Droplets may arise from speaking, coughing, or sneezing. Because heavy droplets travel only a short distance, generally 3 to 6 feet or less, the infected person and the susceptible host need to be relatively close to each other for efficient transmission to occur. Airborne spread is an efficient mode of transmission, and it may involve varying distances between the source and the host. The most efficient means of airborne transmission is by droplet nuclei. These nuclei, sometimes called aerosols, are very small, about 1 to 5 μm, and they can be suspended in air for extended periods of time. The small size of the particles and their ability to remain suspended in air also means that they may spread through ventilation systems. Aerosol-generating procedures such as nebulizer treatments and bronchoscopy may result in aerosolization of organisms not normally transmitted through aerosols. Larger particles may also be airborne, but they do not generally remain suspended in air as long as the smaller droplet-sized particles. Common vehicles, such as food and water, may also transmit infectious agents. In active direct transmission with a common source, the organism first replicates in the vehicle, producing a larger dose of the organism, such as salmonella in raw chicken, which is then ingested. Passive or indirect transmission may occur if the organism is simply present, with no increase in loading dose required. An example is food contaminated with the hepatitis A virus. The virus does not replicate in the food, but when the food is ingested, it may cause infection. Vectors, such as insects, may transmit infectious organisms. External vector-borne transmission is the mechanical transfer of microorganisms by a vector, such as a fly on food. Internal vector-borne transmission involves transfer of infectious material directly from the vector into the new host, such as occurs with mosquitoes and malaria, fleas and plague, and louse-borne typhus. The vector may simply harbor the infectious organism with no biological interaction taking place, or the agent may actually undergo changes within the vector. Key point: it is important to understand that some agents, bacteria, viruses, toxins, etc., may have more than one mode of transmission. Portal of entry. The portal of entry is the means by which an infectious agent enters a susceptible host. Many of these also function as a portal of exit. Common portals of entry include the respiratory tract, the genitourinary tract, the gastrointestinal tract, the skin/mucous membranes, transplacental, fetus to mother, parenteral, percutaneous via blood, susceptible host. The susceptible host is the portion of the chain that ultimately becomes infected by the initial causative agent from the first step of the chain of infection. The susceptible host has multiple characteristics that may influence susceptibility to and severity of disease. These include age, example, childhood diseases and chronic diseases for older patients. Sex, example, reproductive diseases, ethnicity, socioeconomic status. Marital status, example, in studies of stress-related diseases, lifestyle. Heredity, example, sickle cell anemia, nutritional status. Occupation, example, coal miners and black lung disease. Immunization status, diagnostic/therapeutic procedures, example, organ transplant patients. Medications, example, steroids increasing the risk of infection, pregnancy. Trauma, example, skin break, inflammatory responses, immune status, example, AIDS, leukemia. These characteristics may positively or negatively affect host susceptibility, and none of them exist completely independently of the others. Some, like immunization status, may be controlled or influenced by the host. Others, like age and ethnicity, are not. Key point: in addition to these characteristics, the susceptible host has several nonspecific defense mechanisms that may modify the risks of becoming infected and developing disease. These include normal flora, the host's natural antibodies, natural barriers of entry, and good nutritional status. Breaking the chain. Control of infectious diseases involves breaking the chain of infection by altering the host, the environment, or the agent. Key point: by breaking the chain of infection at any of the links, the transmission of infection is stopped. The infectious agent is eliminated or inactivated or cannot survive in the reservoir, Example, rapid identification and management of organisms, cleaning and disinfecting of the environment. The portal of exit is managed through good infection prevention and control practices. Example, hand hygiene, appropriate use of PPE, safe packaging, disposal of waste. Transmission does not occur due to good infection prevention and control practices. Example, hand hygiene, isolation of infected patients, airflow control where appropriate. The portal of entry is protected. Example, aseptic non-touch technique, safe catheter care, wound care. The susceptibility of patients receiving healthcare is reduced. Example, treatment of underlying disease, recognizing high-risk patients. Common methods to break the chain of infection at any given link are shown in Exhibit 1-3. Exhibit 1-3. Breaking the chain.